Someone said, are you going to preach a Father's Day message? I think the whole Gospel of John is a Father's Day message. And between what I did a couple weeks ago and what Nathan did Wednesday night, like the guitar ad I saw on the wall when my kids were doing a recording years ago, if you can't do it with this, you can't do it. this book will equip us, amen, to be fathers and men of God that God has called us to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for a light in a dark place. Thank you for a rock in the midst of a storm. Thank you for a lighthouse in the midst of darkness. And Lord, we tremble not for fear of the world, the flesh, or the devil. Thank you that we got a peace, a hope, and that we, those that are saved are bound for the promised land. We pray you bless the preaching of your word, bless the hearers. Anybody here not saved doesn't know for sure their sins are forgiven, doesn't know when they stand before God what they're going to do with their sin. I pray today the Holy Spirit would make it clear of the simplicity of salvation. It's not enough for the head, but it has to be from the heart. Pray you'd bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and this is what we're going to... And I think we've established by now that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, so the Word is God, and the Word was made flesh. Ultimately, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. What I want to focus on today is verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And I want to look at build on this here and look at a progression through your New Testament. We notice in verse 3 here, all things were made by Him. Now I want you to go with me to Colossians chapter 1, the book we just finished up not too long ago. Colossians chapter 1. We know, number one, all things are made by Him. Let's establish the context of who we're talking about here, in whom we have redemption through His blood. You know who that is, as Jesus. Even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. See, there's that Trinity thing working, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created. All right, that's what we picked up in John 1, that are in heaven and that are in earth. Are you in earth? Yes, we're in earth. Visible, are you visible? Yes. And invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Now watch this. All things were created by Him. That's what we got in John 1. Number 2, and for Him. So Jesus Christ didn't just create all things for the sake of creating them. He created them for Himself. Amen? All right, Revelation chapter 4. One more step in this thing. Why? Why did He create things? For Himself. Why did He create things for Himself? Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Talk about the promised land. There it is right there. Let's start in verse 10 because it's so good. The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, watch what they said, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure, see that? They are, present tense, and were, past tense, created. So He created for Himself, and He created for His pleasure. Now what that does right away is it eradicates, and we'll talk a little bit about theology once in a while, the deist theology. The deist theology is what a lot of our founding fathers, George Washington, people like that, that said, you know what, God created, we believe in a God, and we believe that He created, but you know what, you're kind of on your own now. You gotta figure this thing out for yourself. Let me say this. We were created by God and for God for His good pleasure. And you that are saved and redeemed and bought, purchased with His own blood, you are property at a whole new level. And this thought that we were created by Him and for His pleasure has a huge practical application and ramifications in our own life and in the life of the society in which we live. Our satisfaction with life will always come up short if we are not bringing our Creator pleasure. I'm going to say it again. Our satisfaction with life will always come up short if we are not bringing our Creator pleasure. And the reason is, if I can put it in practical terms, you're not hitting on all cylinders. Because the design purpose of the human being, even everyone that is created by my name, I've created him for my glory. And until we come to the point where we realize I was created by God and for God, you know what? There's going to be conflict. There's going to be discontent. There's going to be disappointment, overall lack of purpose. And I'm not saying that you're necessarily sitting in some psych ward. But God has designed us with purpose. And brethren, that's why the world is going bonkers this morning. It's not about race. It's not about gender. It's not about socialism or communism or capitalism. It's about, I have created you for a purpose, and until you connect into that, you are going to be not running on all cylinders. Now, a screwdriver can work as a hammer. Do I have an amen? But not as good as it drives a screw, and not as good as a hammer hammers a nail. A butter knife will work as a screwdriver. Do I have an amen? But never screws as good as a screwdriver, and never will a screwdriver butter on bread like a butter knife. What are you saying? I'm saying if we are not living to fulfill God's good pleasure, our lives in some way, shape, or form are going to be like that end of that thing and trying to just hit it. The screwdriver's just not getting that nail in. It's kind of getting it in. And just if everybody would just realize that I'm right and they're all wrong, this world would be a better place. Anything outside of glorifying God with a life comes up short of the very design of God Himself. And you may get by, and you will find some pleasure and some satisfaction because He makes it to rain on the just and the unjust. But you know what the Bible calls it? Incomplete. Your life is just going to be physical and shallow. And listen, if someone were to... If an unsaved person is to say to me, what book should I read? I'd first ask him, what are you looking for? And of course, you know, we always suggest the book we're in. If you're only going to read one book in the Bible, read, I would suggest the Gospel of John. But I'll tell you, it'd be my second place. Ecclesiastes is a book of a king that has all the more money than you and I all put together. Just about owner of the world, Solomon. And he sought this, and he sought that, and he possessed this, and he possessed that. He had more wives than you'll ever have. He had more concubines than you'll ever have. He had more riches than you'll ever have. He had more wine than you'll ever have. He had more gardens than you'll ever have. And you know what he said? It's all vanity. He was getting to be old, and he said, you know what? And I look, and this is just, all this I've done is just going to pass on to someone else. That's a great book. If you're looking for the purpose of life, if you're not fulfilling the purpose to glorify God in your life, you're going to just be found just not hitting on all cylinders. And if you don't believe me, look at the world around you. And I think one reason it's turning into an insane asylum run by the inmates, and the reason that America's young people are drinking themselves drunk, or drugging themselves low or cutting themselves and piercing themselves and starving themselves and ganging themselves and killing their classmates and perverting themselves and addicting themselves with fleshly pursuits is because they don't realize the next sensual gratification or high or drunk or feeling can never satisfy the internal void. We are a spiritual being. And I tell you, until we turn back to God, I'm going to tell you what you're going to see based on a book that predicts the future. It's going to get way more worse, way more addicted, way more perverted. Way more. What do you think is going to change it? Race relations? Guy goes in and mows down the people at work. What in the world's race got to do with that? More inordinate, more addicted, more depressed, more dissatisfied as the day goes by until we realize that the problem is spiritual. We're going to swirl the drain and the water gets faster as it gets less. I hate to bring this up, but I'm going to because, and you might disagree with me, but this is the world our children are living in. But this is Pride Month, which you know what the Bible says about pride. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall, and you ain't even committed the other sins yet. Talk about a subject founded in the flesh, and what I'm given by this illustration, I realize we're in mixed company, so I'll be as discreet as needed. But we started out with these labels, I'll just say G and L. And then it was G and L and B. And if society would just accept us, everybody would be happy. Well, you got parades in every city in the country. You protect it under the Constitution. Are you satisfied? Maybe my void, maybe my emptiness, maybe my yearning is because I'm not what I was born as. That's it. Now we have to add T to G, B. And if I will just change what I was born as, then I will be complete. Don't bet on it. Right or wrong, don't bet on it. You're trying to fulfill a spiritual yearning that God put inside with a physical solution. It'll never happen. Well, maybe I'm discontent because I'm nothing that anybody's supposed to be. And I'm kind of just fluid. So I'm going to spend my life judging and berating everybody that doesn't agree with me. So now we're going to add a Q on the end. In fact, we're running out of space on the line, so we'll just put a plus after that. And we're in worse shape than when we started. Physical can never satisfy the spiritual longing. And by the time we're done, look at the confusion we have. Consider Hollywood. We were created by Him and for Him, for His good pleasure, and you have a whole industry. And the people that'll go the furthest and supposedly be the happiest and the richest and the most successful are the people that are best at pretending they are someone else. Or how beautiful you are. If you could just be the beautifulest, you're going to have it made. People will nigh worship you. You hear about these stars? I mean, Michael Jackson? You ever see that boy sing when he was a little kid? Talk about happy. But he bought a bill of goods, drugged himself to death. You'd think getting there would satisfy something. I ran a little thing. Who's the stars that are in recovery? I don't know these people. I've heard of some. Robert Downey Jr., Demi Lovato, Ben Affleck, Bradley Cooper, Drew Barrymore, Elton John, Jamie Lee Curtis, Keith Urban, Daniel Radcliffe, Amber Valletta, Eric Clapton, Carrie Fisher. Does that tell you anything? Ask Solomon if riches complete you. This is what I'm trying to get. Young people, you've got to listen. When we say to glorify God with your life, it's not just for God, it's for you. It's not just for His purposes, it's for your purposes. All my life long, I panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning. And I went to this, and then I went to that, and when I went to this. And it kills me to see some of you young people are going to chase that same path that your parents came out of. And I think it's because, and I pity you and I pray for you, because you're kind of in the same thing that we're in. And I'm thinking that some of you are thinking, well, I'm in this, what you're talking about now, and I'm not getting the fuzzies like you got, because I don't think it's here. I think it's here, and it can't be here, and it doesn't matter if you were Catholic or Baptist or Pentecostal or Jewish or atheist. If it's up here, it doesn't complete you. And you're going to go down that same dumb road. There was an old song. It said, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. And that's what the world said. Don't waste your life pleasing God. Let me tell you something. Until you please God, you're not going to please yourself. And I'm not just preaching it. I've lived it. I was sinning before many of you were an idea. Big sins, bad sins that took me into another world. And you know the way the devil works? Oh, yeah, you're going to love this. You're going to love it. And you get done. I can remember, I shouldn't get too personal. I would walk those beaches in Florida, you know, spring break and all that. And I can remember literally looking up to heaven and saying, there ain't nothing here. This is as good as it gets. I remember getting hired at Eastman Kodak Company, man. I was 22 years old. I landed, this guy said, if you just show up for 2 years, you'll be making 50% more than the $19,000 that you started at, 1984. And I look at these old guys every day, go to the break room, pour their coffee. And they take their little styrofoam cups. I remember this one guy specifically. And they drag it across the table while they were talking. And the ripples would go. Did you go to the hockey game last night? Just about the time I succumbed to, I guess this is as good as it gets. Then came you. Woo! I met a man. There was a man sent from God whose name was Jay. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light, that Joe Camilleri through him might believe. I just made that up. Our satisfaction in life will always come up short if we are not bringing our Creator pleasure. It's a reason we were made. Go to Romans 8. I have to get happy by myself. Father's Day, they give me a little more leeway. Romans 8. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh... That means unsaved in the context of that verse. Don't doubt it. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You say, I want to please God. What's my first step? You got to get saved. If you're alive and not saved, you could join every church in town. You could keep the golden rule. You could make all the sacraments and rituals. You know what? You are incomplete. Your spirit is dead until the Spirit of God comes in, until you face the fact of our sin and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save my soul. Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to thee, you must be born again. And when that light comes on, there's nothing like it. We are a spiritual being created to worship God, who is a spirit in a spiritual relationship in a spiritual realm. And until then, man, and I lived it and I believe it from the Bible, even if I didn't live it, you're going to find yourself trying to pound a nail with a screwdriver. What's wrong with my relationship? What's wrong with these people? What's wrong with everybody? No. You never intended what God made you to be for His good pleasure. Click. Vroom. I'm talking about high octane, all eight cylinders. Well, maybe it'll be my next wife. That's what it is. Well, there goes her. What about the next one after that, maybe? The biggest physical torment in hell has to be the pain. The man in Luke 16 said, I'm tormented in this flame, but I got to think the second biggest torment is the emotional pain of the regret. He said, son, remember in thy lifetime, what have I done? I want to please God. Number one, you got to get saved. That's what makes you complete. It changes your very being. It'll make you perfect and sinless. That'll come later. Number two, you got to understand a works salvation cannot please God. The Old Testament law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That's what the apostle said. Because ultimately there were 613 Old Testament laws. In Hebrews 10, the God, the Holy Spirit, made an incredible statement when he said, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. He's not pleased by that. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, offering for sin, thou wouldest not. Neither hadst pleasure. You telling me that 1,400 years of animal sacrifices, millions of them, tankers full of blood? In the long view, God said, no pleasure. So if those sacrifices could never take away sin, you think you're going to come before God and say, well, you know, I raised a good family. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a reward of them that diligently seek, not by works of righteousness which you have done. You can't please Him. Religion says do, do, do. God says in the cross, it's already been done. You know, we talked about that inordinate group evolving from L to G to LGB to LGBTQ to LGBTQ. As a manifestation of no satisfaction in physical pursuits, that is nothing compared to religion. The Pharisees were perfect. Listen, the Apostle Paul said, according to the law, I was blameless. No one could get nothing on me. But he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Religion doesn't satisfy. And you say, why are you saying that in a place like this? Because some of you kids are religious. We were too. A lot of us first generation, we just had some more statues and different things that we went through. And it's hard for us older generation to get to see that and to get that. And I pity you. Okay, so I won't eat meat on Friday. I remember I was always a fat kid, if you could believe that. And on Fridays during Lent, you know, the emphasis, the population was so Roman Catholic. I mean, we thought you were either Italian and Catholic or wanted to be. Is there anything else? poor things. And I can remember from time to time biting into, they would either have fish squares. I love those things. Now, man, they would either have fish squares. This is how big the Catholic influence was. On Friday at lunchtime, either fish squares or pepperoni pizza. You hear what I said? Pepperoni pizza. Pepperoni is meat. And I can remember a couple times, of course, I didn't pray before the meal back then. And I get into that thing, and then all of a sudden, I ate meat on Friday. And I'm just a kid, man, 12, 13 years old, and I'm wondering, and I can remember this wonder saying, you can't eat meat on Friday. What? Why? God is not pleased. Okay, I won't eat meat on Friday. Okay, I'll take a pilgrimage to Mecca once in my life. Okay, I'll flog myself. Okay, I'll strap a bomb to myself. Maybe then he'll accept me. He'll accept none of that. There's one thing he accepts, and it's that. It pleased. Listen to this. It pleased. You want to please the Lord? Get in the one. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Not our little deeds. He shall see his seed, shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You want to please God? Get in Jesus Christ by grace, through faith. Wave the white flag of surrender. My righteousness is as filthy rags. I can't make it without you. Save my soul. May 17th, 1986, I got in. If you young people could just get over your everything that's going on, Brother Jay used to say, crazy things start to happen to you when you get like 12 years old. You get these crazy things. You got to get over that. Get into Jesus. This is about a person, not religion. And I know some of you straddling the fence. And I'm afraid you're going to fall. Because here's what you see. You see this. You see religion. If you could just get past this to your Savior, you'd get over that hump. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. This world has nothing on this. Woo! Well, you don't know what I did. Well, you don't know what I did either. Probably 20,000 times more than you did. How come I'm here? Woo! Because this is better. Because Satan says, come on, try. It'll be great. It'll be great. It'll be great. Okay. 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 You know what the sheriff from Orleans County told us? They're finding them dead with the needle still in their arms. I thought that was supposed to be freedom. And the devil says, okay. And you say, I think I want out now. I don't think this is all it's cracked up to be. You ain't getting out now. Whereas God says, come on. You say, oh man, that's kind of awkward. It's kind of hard. And then you get in there and you take that step and it satisfies. Because that's how you were created. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. Quickly, some things that please God, and we'll go on our way early today. Coming by grace through faith and getting saved, that pleases God. Listen to this verse. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure and uprightness. Doing right pleases God. Doing wrong pleases us. The end thereof, you're sick. If you have any conscience left, if you have the Spirit of God, it just you know it. But God says you do the hard part up front, and afterwards comes the satisfaction. Salvation. uprightness, separation from the world and its affairs. Now, we are in the world, but not of the world. A friend of the world is the enemy of God. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Ezra, he said this, do his pleasure and separate yourselves from among the people of the land. Do his pleasure, separate yourself. Come out from among them. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Listen, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, some of you young people, I told you you're on the fence. And here's what gives me hope. For the most part, I think most of you aren't stupid. I think you've been around long enough and something in your little old soul, saved or not, said, you better not mess with God. There's something true about this book. There's something real about this book. I'm going to tell you what I think will help you get over if you get all in. Yep. Otherwise, you're going to be a spiritual bipolar. Spiritual schizo. Never satisfied either way. It's the way you're wired to please Him. Come to Him by grace through faith. Do right. Separation from the world and its affairs. Lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll just throw this one in, hopefully, and on a good note. It's what God used in my life this week. I mean, if you're a believer, I don't care what the world said. The world didn't do nothing for me. I want to please God. Verse 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Watch it. You want to please Him, right? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, one of our biggest enemies to pleasing God in this passage right here is the flesh. Because really, your flesh agrees with God and said, preaching is foolish, especially in public. Nothing in your flesh is going to say, yes, let's go stand on a street corner, lift up our voices, read, preach, exhort people to come to Jesus. That makes a lot of sense. Listen, if it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, someone who's been doing it for 35 years, it probably doesn't make sense to a lot. I'm going to look like a fool. You're right. But here's what it gets you over the hump. It pleases God. The preaching. I was, but I'm going to go out there. I want to win these people. I don't want to get them aggravated. I don't want them to look at me like you're a fool. He said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. There's the one side. And the other side said, preaching pleases God. What are you going to do? Boy, I purpose. I don't always preach when I go out. Why? Because I feel like a fool. So the battle begins in the flesh. But God said it pleases Him. Do you want to please me? Because they're going to think you're a fool. You think you're a fool. And God has made it so you will either please Him or please them. You know, Paul said, I'm a fool for Christ. Do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? Listen, for if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Leave it to our God to say, you know what? I'm going to put something out there that's so foolish that you and your church and your little ministry and your little prefab stuff can take no credit when somebody comes to Christ. This is where I think the devil has hoodwinked the church in our day. Just please the sinner and they'll be happy and they'll come to Jesus.
and just don't get too preachy and just adopt their music and their manners and their methods and their message, a little bit of psychobabble and make them feel good. And the right end will justify the wrong means. Don't count on it. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. It pleased God. Paul, I want you to preach. In fact, I got a special, I know the decisions you're going to make in your life. You're going to come to me. I'm going to use you. And here's what he said. Listen to this. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. That's his own self. You know why? Because he never would have won the argument. You want me to what? A Jew? You want me to go lift up my voice on Mars Hill? There's not a chance. Till we take our eyes. Listen, this is crucial. If you're ever going to please God in this department, you must take your eyes off the audience. And the way that the church has been hoodwinked, that's all they're looking at is the audience. What does the audience think? Hey, I want to please God. What does he think? And then you leave the results up to him. It's freedom. We were there a few weeks ago out on the corner and saw a girl in a car there. And she's sort of waiting there. We were breaking down and putting our stuff away. And I went to Miss Vicky here and I said, hey, that girl looks like she's wanting to ask a question or something. Just keep an eye if she looks like she's maybe go talk to her. And by that time, the crowd had kind of dispersed, and she just drove through, and she must have been practicing this for the last hour, probably a believer. I just want to know how many people you've reached doing this. Wrong focus. Wrong focus. What pleases God, according to that Bible, is not how many I've reached. It's that I preached. Man, I told myself, I'm preparing this message, right? And God said, well, you going to please me this Saturday, big boy? I said, yeah, I'm going to please you. Listen, when reaching sinners becomes my goal, eventually I'm no longer going to be pleasing God. We have to stick with preaching. You know what follows this text? What I was saying about him right after this text. All things are made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. Light shineth in darkness. Darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Right off the bat, he says, the same came for a witness to bear witness to that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. You know where John ended up? With his head in a basket. And you know what Jesus said about him? There's not one greater born among them. Woo! You want a good life? Just please God. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Did you hear what that just said? I mean, is that contrary to the American dream and life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness? Not to please ourselves? And you know what? And really, that's a big part of the mess that we're in. Because we can't please ourselves with physical pursuits. I'm going to end with this testimony because I really think that I love when the Lord humors me and I don't love when He humbles me. But I told you, it seemed like the devils were just came out of the woodwork. I mean, we weren't there for a minute yesterday. Hail Satan! Well, I happen to have the PA system, so that means I'm louder. And I stole Dave Hance's phrase that he taught me when they say that. You didn't read the end of the story. You're serving a loser. Yep. Had a fun with that. Someone else came by, threw out, said something about abortion. I said, abortion? Then Greg Paff, he up and started preaching. My brother-in-law was adopted and he's against abortion. He's thankful that he wasn't aborted. And then I started preaching. I said, you wonder why your kids are kids. And it was just a good time. I'll back up. Before I left for the house, I got to pull my pants up because I'm in fat mode right now. But I got two scripture shirts, fluorescent green. I like to wear them out there, but I got two. One's a 3X, one's a 1X. Forget about the 1X. I look like a popping fresh dough thing when it... But the 3X happened to be clean, Damon. So I got the 3X on. I'm feeling good. Put it on. Okay, so that's that part of the story. Now, back up. Last week, the American nightmare, I mean dream, the dryer breaks. You know, you got girls in the house. It's not like, the dryer broke, Dad, I took care of it. It's like,
the dryer's broke, the phone doesn't work, the faucet's leaking.
So I went out and went online, got me a nice used dryer. Got it all hooked up. My wife wasn't home yet. I was actually excited about doing the laundry. Not long, but I was just excited. 24 hours, Eric, I come down the stairs, water all over the floor. Not from the dryer, from the cellar dwellers. What's that thing called? Dishwasher. A dishwasher that Ken Parfit gave me years before he died. He probably ran it for 20 years, so it's older than the cellar dwellers anyways. And I look at him and I said, can I go 24 hours without something breaking? So I went online again, started looking. I find a beautiful dishwasher, Whirlpool, $25. They switched to stainless. Beautiful. Let me give you a little cheap trick. I don't have to tell Damon because he's got a vowel on the end of his name. When someone says, oh yeah, we got new, fill in the blank, the first question you ask, what'd you do with the old ones? So we show up to this nice neighborhood, $25, I got the beautiful thing. So we're putting it in. I go, guys, we got 1 hour. This was 10 o'clock, we got till 11. We'll get the thing in, we'll be ready to go to preaching later. Well, Joel buggered up the hose. So now, I got to go to Lowe's after we go to preaching to get a hose. The parts end up more than the dishwasher. Now, I like the Milo's card. The reason I love the Milo's card, it's not a credit card. It's just you check. You don't have to have your receipt when you go back because I'm bad with losing receipts. You do your Milo's card. I don't have it with me. So now I know I can only go through the regular line because I got to give her my phone number and that'll automatically go in. But the line was too long, so there's strike two. So I said, let's just go to the self-checkout. And I get to the self-checkout. There's a lady over there by the name of Sandy, middle-aged lady, and I lost my wallet. Where's my wallet? Where's my wallet? Joe, go in the car and look for my wallet. And so he goes, okay, you know, he's all scared. He buggered up the hose. He knows I'm ready to blow as it is. So he's running out there, and she goes, I trust him. I'm on the back of my shirt, it said, trust Jesus. She said, I trust him. And I think that might have went right over my head. I go, yeah, he lost my wallet. He buggered up the hose. I lost my wallet. This is just a bit. She goes, I say, yeah, he just went. I said, so I got to keep hitting this thing, continue. Are you sure you want to expire it? No, I want to continue. I want to continue. He comes in. I got it, Pastor. He's happy. I'm happy. Boom. We come. She goes, I was saying I trust the one on the back of your shirt. And I said, oh, yeah, where do you go to church? She said, we're shopping for a church right now. I said, where do you live? She said, Thomas Estates. Now, for you that don't know, that's the, I don't think call it a trailer park, the modular homes down at the end of the street here. I said, I passed it. Church on the street that you just about live on. Oh, we've been to that church. We love that church. We've been there for the Christmas concert. And she said, and how about that church where the kids go on the corner and hold the signs? And I'm like, that's us! We got her locked. And she said this, I'd like to get those kids a pizza. She goes, "Do you like Mark's Pizza?"
"You think?"
I said, "Oh, we love Mark's Pizza." Now, 20 years ago, I would have been all dignified. "Oh, no, we do this for the Lord." "Yeah, what kind of..." She goes, "You like pepperoni and cheese?" "We love pepperoni and cheese." "Should I get a large or a sheet?" "A sheet." I said, no, don't this, is it always the same time? 2 o'clock every Saturday, except for next Saturday, because I'm not going to be here. So I'd wait. She took all my information. And Mark's is okay. "Yeah, Mark's is fine. Pepperoni and cheese." She goes, "Yeah." And I promised my friend tomorrow we go to the Methodist church. She said, "But I think we're going to come and visit you again. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And living in a world, and we live, I'm telling you, I've sinned a lot of sins and had a lot of physical satisfaction. But when something like that happens, it's something you cannot explain. When you see the hand of God saying, "Just trust me." Let's stand. Nothing like the Christian life. And I'll beg and plead with you till you either get in or get out. Brother Jay, let's sing that. What is it? 344. Let's sing "Satisfied" if you're satisfied. Maybe you're not saved.
Oh,
we used to come to an altar. Come to an altar. I'll take you here. I'll bring you in that back room. We'll look at the Bible. I'll show you how you can be satisfied inner today. Do what $1 million couldn't do. Do what health, wealth couldn't do. Make you complete. That's what it is. That's what it is. You don't need a new this or a new that or a new church. You need Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Brother Jacob.